Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Amen. All right, you can be seated again. So we don't know what the Spirit of God will want to do.
Amen.
I mean, we do at the moment, but we're just open to Him. So again, take your medicine every day. Isn't that what we do? Take your medicine every day. Can you hand me my book there? Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it so much. Do you appreciate them leading us in worship?
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Appreciate it very much. They might have a little better voice than some of us, but that's good. That's why they lead us, right? All right, let's get into the Word of God even further. Turn in your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 5. The last couple of weeks, we've been on this journey preaching from Ephesians chapter 5. Last week, we talked about the second portion of that, of Holy Spirit, being filled with Holy Spirit. And what does it mean to be filled with Holy Spirit? Now, when we approach the Word of God, I think I shared this before, we should be like a little bird, a baby bird in the nest. When the mother or the father comes and has a worm, I'm thinking of a robin, and has a worm in its mouth, how does that little baby bird react? You got it, Janet. I mean, I don't like that worm. No, they're always hungry. So that's how we approach the Word of God. We can always receive something new. And I believe as the Spirit of God ministers the Word of God and ministers in these services, that every one of us will receive something that will help minister to us, help us in our walk in the next week, months, or whatever it may be. And you come with that kind of expectation, God's going to meet you and show you things. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. So I want to just continue along this line. But I guess my title this morning would be, is what does He do for us? Holy Spirit, what does He do for us? I know they like when I have a title for the message on whatever. So I have one here today, Randy. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll start at verse 17 again. Let me find it here. Be circumspect. Something happened to my Bible this week. It must have got damp or something. Sticks together. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, because of that, because the days are evil, because we face challenges and evil things every day, it says that we should not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So that tells me, I'll do a little review, that tells me that when something evil comes against us, we need to know how to handle it.
Yes.
And we do that through the Word of God, understanding God's will from His Word. And therefore, it also exposes us to the tactics of the enemy. And therefore, if I know his tactics, then I can be aware, and when I see it coming, I already know what to do to take authority over it. Then he says, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit being our teacher here today. In Jesus' name. So Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 15. Let's read 14 as well. Well, maybe we should just read from 12 on. Therefore, as the elect of God, he's talking about the same thing here. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, are we the elect of God?
Yes.
Are we holy and beloved?
Yes.
Amen. That's what God says about us. God's not mad at you. Yeah, but I did this and that. God's not mad at you. All he wants is for us to confess it if we did something wrong, and he redeems it. It's taken care of. Sets us free, restores. Hallelujah. Good news. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. Really, the fruit of the Spirit, in a sense, worded in a little bit different way. But we're supposed to put them on. Holy Spirit is the one who helps us do that. In other words, when I am filled with Holy Spirit, these are some of the things that will come out of me. I'm not constantly trying to make them come out. I mean, it says in John 15 that we abide in the vine. And the vine brings forth the fruit. I used to work in an orchard before, right over the time we got married, years, I won't say how many years, 50 years ago or so. 54 years ago. I used to work in an orchard. I used to cut meat, and then I'd sometimes have the opportunity to go out to the orchard. And I had never heard an apple tree groaning and moaning to try to bring out an apple. I never heard a branch or saw a branch where then out pops an apple or some kind of fruit. Well, it's the same way when we bring forth the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
It is I kind of don't like the word byproduct, but in a sense, it's a byproduct of what we have on the inside. Sorry. It's a result of something we have on the inside. Right. And it's not like I have to try so hard to do this, because then it becomes works. But what I do is I become aware of Holy Spirit and allow him to be in my life and to control my life, and I will bring forth fruit.
Yes.
So when I'm irritable like I was, I mean, I wasn't irritable the whole time, but I just had that feeling. And when I feel like that, you know, oh, I got to do this, got to do that. No, I just draw closer to him in a sense. And it's not a super spiritual type thing. I just, in my thoughts and in what I'm doing, I say, okay, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I'm kind of about ready to blow my top. It wasn't quite that bad, but. And if we give that to him, then he can give us rest and peace. So, because of the Holy Spirit in me, I can be an overcomer of those things. My focus not being on those things, but my focus being on him who is on the inside of me and on the Word of God. And my fellowship and dependence on him. We try so hard sometimes to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit and the what we think the Spirit should be doing in our lives that we get over into works. There is a rest to the people of God.
Yes,
I'm not saying we shouldn't be diligent in reading the word, in praying. That's not what I'm saying. But there's something that I can't describe that when you have a heart after God and you want to go deeper with him, somehow he does it without much effort on my part, except just to be open.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm talking about? We can't make a formula out of it. Our walk with the Spirit is not a formula. It's not if I do this and this and this, then the Spirit of God will do this. It is an everyday awareness of him.
Yes.
And having a listening.
Yes.
Listening to what he's saying. And that only we only recognize that as we practice it and as we walk in it. And it's amazing some of the things he does. Sometimes he'll lead you to prayer. Sometimes he'll lead you to minister to other people. Those kind of things bring a lot of joy. When you give out, you get joy in return. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So just think about him. He hung on the cross, no fault of his.
Yes.
No, not because he did. He deserved it. He had done no crime. But on the cross he says, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they do. Not quite sure why I'm going this direction, but I am. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And I know you've heard a lot in this congregation about the love of God and walking in the love of God. I mean, I'm assuming you did. Then it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. In John, it says Holy Spirit is our peace.
Yes.
So, with all the things that are happening in the world today, we could be quite troubled. I mean, you know, we got nuclear bombs that could blow us off this earth in a moment of time. Of course, I shouldn't say upset, but we're ready. We'd be in a better place if you're right with God, right? Because David said, even if the heaven and the earth pass away, he said, I'm still in you. You're still my foundation. Hallelujah. So when we hear about all these bombs, and I just heard about they have this little tiny drone. Maybe I shouldn't share it, but you're all mature people in your walk with God. They have these little tiny drones that can, like the size of a mosquito, and they can send that against a person and has poison in it with a little needle on it, and they can send that just like a mosquito, inject poison in a person. Now, that's not meant to put any fear in any of us, because we know who we serve. But that is some of the reality that we face today. I mean, if you have a little thing like that, they can pick anybody out they want and they can just kill them. Or you could get yourself a little drone and poison someone if you don't like them. Well, that sure wouldn't be the love of God, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I didn't mean to make a joke out of it, but in a sense I do, I guess. So we have many things to be afraid of. But we serve a God who leads us, he guides us, and his promises are still true today.
Yes.
So our heart shouldn't be troubled because we have Holy Spirit. One of the things that Holy Spirit does for us is he gives us peace. Now, he doesn't just give us peace, he is peace. There's a difference. He doesn't just give us peace, he is peace. If Holy Spirit is in my life, then I have peace. Yeah, but I'm dealing with this and I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with all these things. Well, Holy Spirit being led by him, it'll give you peace. He'll show you what to do. Am I preaching to the choir, or is anybody going to say amen? So, as it says here, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Here it is. The two things, Holy Spirit, the word of God, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That sounds like Ephesians, doesn't it?
Yes.
And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. So this is another scripture that's in line with what we've been looking at in Ephesians chapter 5. So last week we talked about John 4:14. Jesus said, Holy Spirit is a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. It's a fountain of water within us when we get born again, springing up to everlasting life. When we receive Jesus into our lives, eternal life begins there for us. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have eternal life. I have it now because Holy Spirit is in me. So when the time of death comes, Brother Hagin, you say, yeah, you just step through the curtain to the other side. We're already in eternity because we love him. We serve him. And then John 7:38 says that he who believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he goes on and says that Jesus spoke this, referring to Holy Spirit. So out of my belly, it says, he who believes. Do you believe?
Yes.
Are you a believer?
Yes.
A lot of times when I'm in Africa and I teach these kind of things, I say, we are he who's. Are you a he who? Or are you a she who? Are you?
Yes.
He who or she who believes, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So you're a he who. That means out of your belly, Holy Spirit being in there, because you believe, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now there's a difference between a well and a river. So sad what happened in Texas. Those little girls. I have a 10-year-old granddaughter. So these kind of things hit home. Flash flood. Maybe you didn't see the news. Flash flood went through a girls' camp. 750 people there. And at least 50 of these little girls were washed away. I mean, I think around 50. They haven't found them all yet. Death toll is over 50, not just there, but other places as well. I can't imagine. I've never experienced anything like that. Maybe some of you have. But I can't imagine my 10-year-old granddaughter being at camp and never coming home. I know they're with Jesus. I know that. We have it really good, don't we? Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift them up to you right now. We don't even know how to pray many times in those kind of situations. Maria Sakahob Lebebe Shente. Come on, pray with me. Ilikibo Shantalareke Monday. Mondelerike De Shente. Comfort, Lord. Yes, comfort, Lord. Ilikibo Shantalareke Monday. Lord, also be the restorer in those that were saved, the trauma they must have went through, Lord. Oh, God, Jesus. Ilikibo Shantalareke Monday Shente. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Found one little girl in a tree. I need tissue. She was still alive. Underneath. Okay, thank you, Randy. But I can't imagine what that little girl went through. Being swept away by the waters and somehow got up in a tree. And these girls, these at the camp, were anywhere from 8, I think, to 10, 11 years old. The river rose in 45 minutes, it rose 30 feet. All right, turn with me to John 14. John 14. So some of the things Holy Spirit does for us. Last week we looked at John 14, starting at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be able to abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, because he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus talking to his disciples just before he was crucified. Jesus gave his disciples instructions, and many of his instructions were about the Holy Spirit. And if you study John 14, 15, and 16, those three chapters, you will learn much about the Holy Spirit. I encourage all of us to go over those scriptures again and again and again. I know when we were at Rhema Bible Training Center back in the 70s, how much this was drilled into us to become aware of Holy Spirit,
yes.
to live in Holy Spirit, to recognize his voice, to spend time so that you become fully aware of what's on the inside of you. Now, of course, we never become fully aware, but at least we can be in a place where we know that he's with us all the time and that he's always there to help. So Jesus said, I will send another helper. Can you imagine? These disciples depended on Jesus for 3 years, and he helped them with everything.
Yes.
I mean, they saw miracles, signs, and wonders. When they needed to pay their taxes, he told Peter to go fishing, and he got money in the fish's mouth. I mean, he provided for everything for them for 3 years. And all of a sudden, he says, I'm going to leave you guys. What do you mean, Peter says? What do you mean? I mean, you're the Messiah. You're supposed to stay here and restore the kingdom of Israel. So what do you mean you're going to leave us? I mean, we need you here. He had provided food when people needed food. He provided healing. He provided for their needs, especially the 12, and also some of the women with them in the group that was following him around. But he said, when I go, I'm going to send you another helper. I've helped you, but I'm going to go, but you'll have another helper.
Yes.
So don't worry. Don't be concerned. Don't be troubled, because that other helper is going to come and he's going to help you. And it's even going to be better, because he said, it's better that I go away. Now, why would it be better that he goes away when he's already taken care of all my needs? How can that be better? Well, I'll tell you how it can be better. Right now, I'm among you, right?
Yes.
I'm speaking to you, I'm among you. But Jesus said, the day is coming, I'm among you. He said, you already know this helper. Why? How did they know? Because he was among them. He was showing them the Holy Spirit and what he does. So he was already with them, he was among them. He says, you know him. But he says, the day comes when he'll be in you. And it's much different for him to be among us than it is for him to be in us. Because when he is in us, then his very character, his very being is on the inside of us. And that can't, I can't get in you. But we take on his character. We take on the character of Jesus. We become more and more like him because of Holy Spirit in us. And that's what he's talking about here. Now he says when he comes, and we know he came later on, and if we read the Gospels and the book of Acts, he said when he comes, he's going to live in you, and he's going to abide in you forever.
Amen.
In other words, right now, I can leave you as a group, Jesus talking to his disciples, and sometimes he would go up in the mountain, he would leave them. One time he left them and they were in a boat and the storm came up. But he had left them, right?
Yep.
Now, of course, he came and rescued them. We know that. We know that story. But he left them. But he says the day is coming when I'll be in you. Then you can take care of the storm. Then you'll have the same authority that I have displayed with you. I'll be in you. And I'm not going to leave you. So it's much better that I go, because then in that day, I'll always be with you, always. I'll never leave you. But it's in the spirit. It's a spiritual thing. And they were thinking physical. That's all they could think. They didn't have Holy Spirit. So all they could think was physical. So I would much rather have, some people say, I wish I would have been alive when Jesus was on the earth. Hey, we have it much better. Because if you were and you lived here, you would never see him. Because he was over in the Middle East. Come on now. So it's much better for us today because his presence, his anointing, God's very presence is on the inside of us, the same spirit that was in Jesus. Did you know that you're anointed? Did you know that that anointing is in you, in us? And it doesn't, when we leave church here this morning, this building, that anointing doesn't stay here. They could come tonight and have a beer party in here. And nothing would stop them. I mean, unless we would. Because it's not a place. He is here today because we brought him here. He is in us and we brought him here. We brought the anointing here. So that means when I feel kind of irritable during the week, he's still with me. The anointing is still on the inside of me. In fact, he's helping me. And one thing, and he starts convicting me. See, when we do something wrong and we feel this conviction on the inside, that proves that the Holy Spirit is in you. If Holy Spirit would not be in you, you wouldn't even be convicted. And that's what it says in one of these chapters here, that he's here to convict us. Some people get all concerned, oh, I did this and that, and oh man, I think Holy Spirit left me. Well, they're being convicted, aren't they? And it's the very Spirit of God that is convicting them. So he is in us. I know you may know these things, but we need to be reminded again and again until we really get it. Until we know without a shadow of a doubt that he's with me on Monday morning. He's with me on Wednesday. He's with me when I get angry or something. He's always with me. Wow, what a comfort that is. All right, there's many other things here in these chapters. When you go to verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things.
Yes.
And bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. Sometimes when I'm preaching like this, sometimes things come out and I'm saying, where'd that come from? Some of you who are teachers and preachers, you know what I'm talking about. And even sometimes in your everyday life, you might be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden this comes out of your mouth. Say, where'd that come from? Well, it came from in here. It came from Holy Spirit. And somewhere along the line, you put it in there. Because you put the Word of God in you. Because you can't get water out of a well that has no water. But when you fill the well with the Word of God, then you have water to draw out for those that are thirsty around you. That was really good. But if I don't fill it up with the Word of God, then the well. But if I fill it up, it's a everlasting, it's a spring bubbling up to everlasting life. So I fill it up, then other people can draw from that well. So like he says here, he will bring things to your remembrance. You have to finish that. And there's times when I have certain scriptures come up. A lot of times, sometimes when I'm preaching, scriptures will come out of my mouth. I don't have them memorized. They just come. It's the well. And I'm not building myself up. I'm just saying that we have spirit within us, and we cultivate that. We become more and more aware, and he will bring things to your remembrance. But I can't remember something that I never knew. So I find sometimes I go back, way back to what we learned in Bible school. I say, oh, that's when I put it in there.
That's
right. It's amazing how the Spirit of God does that. He says, I'm reading from verse 26. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He is our teacher. When you read the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God, he is the one who quickens the Word on the inside of you. Otherwise, it just becomes head knowledge. But if he quickens the Word, it begins to change our lives. And Jesus promised he would do that. Sometimes we're so concerned, oh man, I got to have a revelation, I got to have this, and I got to have that. Oh my goodness, Lord. No, just relax. And continue in relationship with him and in the Word of God, and he will teach you. I don't know why I make things so complicated. But he'll teach me. And I rest in that. I rest in the fact that when I get into, I get into the Word of God. I pray and so on. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. But during those times, he will teach us. He will teach me. And I expect that to happen.
Amen.
I've been reading in the morning, I read this morning about Balaam. You know Balaam, the guy that the donkey talked to him?
Yeah.
And when Balak, the king, he rebuked Balaam because he wouldn't curse the children of Israel after they sacrificed to God and all that, he could only speak a blessing. And the thing that jumped out is Balaam said, Balak was the king, and he got angry with him.
Yeah.
And Balaam said, hey, I can only speak what God gives me. That's what he said. See, that teaches me. I was reading and something came. He quickened something in my spirit. And it happens. There's a rest. I said there's a rest for the people of God. And you let the Spirit of God reveal that to you in any way he wants. What does that look like? That rest. That looks like me just sitting with him. Not me trying to make things happen. But just resting. And then he'll show us things to come. Amen. You're a little quiet here this morning. Then he goes on and says, I will bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. He didn't change the subject.
Right.
He's still talking about Holy Spirit. He says, peace I leave with you. I give to you. My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. He said, the Spirit that's in me, he is coming to live on the inside of you. Then here he says, my peace. So Holy Spirit and peace are the same thing. So he says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Now he doesn't just say, okay, now don't let your heart be troubled and let us hang there. But he helps us.
Absolutely.
He says, I've already given you the Holy Spirit and you have the peace. You have Holy Spirit, you have peace in you. So why would you let your heart be troubled? Let not your heart be troubled. We have something to go back on. He's not just giving a command that he doesn't help us. He's already given us something so that our hearts would not be troubled. Come on, I'm preaching really good. Then in chapter 15, verse 26... But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, and the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Holy Spirit will always lift up Jesus. Holy Spirit will always. Well, let me say it this way. Holy Spirit will never violate the Word of God. Never. Look what he says in verse 13 of the next chapter, chapter 16. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. This is a promise for us.
Yes.
As we zero in on him, he'll guide you.
Yes.
And there again, I make it so complicated sometimes. I just need to move forward. I sense something in here, then do it. If it doesn't feel right, then back up. Say, well, that wasn't the Spirit. That's how we learn many times. Now, if it's a big decision, you better know. The little things. We practice on the little things, don't we? I believe I followed the Spirit of God when I married her. But it wasn't a quick decision. Sometimes the big things you have to make sure. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He never violates the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, and he is also called the Spirit of truth. So we could go on and on about many of the things that he does for us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No, I'm not going to go there. Sorry. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We'll wrap this up with Colossians chapter 1. I was going to do Corinthians chapter 2 last week. Then I was going to do it this week. Maybe next week. We'll see. But look what it says in Colossians. You know this scripture, Colossians chapter 1. This is probably my favorite scripture. One time, somebody asked, well, what is your favorite scripture? I said, any scripture that I'm preaching on at that moment. But truly, though, Colossians chapter 1 is really one of my favorites. It says in verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. I hear people talk about, well, so mysterious. I mean, it's fine, depending what you're talking about. But everything is such a mystery. But look at what it says there. The mystery. And he's talking about the new covenant. He's talking about the Spirit of God. That was the mystery. Under the old covenant, the mystery was, how can he come and write his word on my heart?
Yes.
From Jeremiah. How can he do that? In the Old Testament, they were always led by physical and natural things. I mean, the Spirit of God would come upon certain prophets and so on, but they did not have the Spirit of God within, so they had to depend on natural things, and that's how God led them. Pillar of fire by night, cloud by day, had the Urim and the Thummim, and different things that were natural, physical things. And so then the prophet's talking about, well, the day is coming when I won't have to ask my neighbor what God's saying. I don't have to go to the priest, the king, to find out what God is saying, like they did under the old covenant. And that was a mystery. How would that ever happen? How is it that he can write his words on my heart? How is it? How's that happen? Well, it's only because of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Spirit of God, so he writes it on our hearts. So that's the mystery. And it says, the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. Well, I'm not a saint. Well, the Bible says you are. The Bible says I'm a saint. Well, you don't always act like a saint. Well, I know, but in the spirit, I'm a saint. Come on now. So it's talking about you and I. If we're a believer, then we're considered to be a saint. And it says, the mystery which has been hidden is now revealed to his saints. In Ephesians, no, it's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is one of the things I wanted to bring out there. It says there that eye has not seen nor ear heard, and you know that scripture. And many people use that out of context. But in that scripture, it's quoting from Isaiah. It says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, but God has revealed it to us. The things that eye had not seen or ear heard, it's talking about the new covenant coming. Now look at the next verse. You ready to shout?
Yes.
So we're the saints to them. To who? The saints. God willed. It was God's plan. Why he planned it this way, I don't know. Maybe we'll find out when we get to heaven. I don't know. But to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Where before it was just, in this time, it was just Jewish people. Now all of a sudden, this mystery is being revealed to the Gentiles. We're included. This is the mystery. Christ in you. Jesus said, I send my spirit and he's going to live in you. Here it says, Christ in you, that's the mystery. Jesus was talking about the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
Christ meaning anointing, God's presence. Christ is not Jesus' surname. Like when I fill out my visas and my passport, they ask for my surname, especially on a visa. Well, my surname is Smooker. But it wasn't Jesus Christ. Jesus is first name and Christ is second name. No, the word actually means the anointed one.
Yes.
So we could read this, Jesus the anointed one. Jesus the anointed one. That's what the word means in the Greek. Jesus the anointed one. And then he goes on and says, Christ in you. So he's in you. The anointed one, the anointing, the same anointing is in you. The hope of glory. What does that mean? The hope of glory. What is biblical hope? Right. Earnest expectation. What's the glory of God? How would we describe the glory of God? The glory of God is God manifesting himself to us. The glory of God. I mean, I know there's a definition about his glory. I understand that. But here in this context, the glory of God is God manifesting who he is, himself, to me. So Christ in you, the anointing in you, gives you an earnest expectation that God will manifest himself to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Christ in me gives me hope, earnest expectation. Come on now.
Yes.
Earnest expectation that he will manifest himself to me or whenever I minister in that anointing. It is not a question. When I pray for somebody or we pray for someone, it's not a question if God's going to show up. Because he's always there.
Yes.
His glory is in me. His anointing is within me.
Yes.
And like I said last week, the gifts, signs and wonders and miracles, they follow us. So it's not a question if he's going to show up when we're ministering to somebody. No, I have an earnest expectation. And it's up to him to manifest himself. I do what he asks me to do, lay hands on people, pray for people, minister the word of God to people. And then his part is to bring about the results. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Did you get something out of that?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's stand. Sometimes people say, I like to be on the light side sometime.
Okay. What you just preached, if you want.
Okay. Sometimes people say, let's stand to our feet. Well, how else would I stand? Hallelujah. Maybe that's not a good place for that. At least Donna thinks it's funny.